There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and still the only show where we talk about things like sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, etc. and so forth for your listening and viewing pleasure. My name is Dan Selke. I'm the editor of WinnersComing.net, where we write about all that stuff. And this person's name is Daniel Roman, who does that with me. Hello, everybody. Hello, Martha. Hello, Julie. Hello, Benjack. You came in a good day. You know how I know? Because every day in Take the Black is a good day. Dan, how are you?
Nice. I'm good. I've heard it's a good day. So I'm, you know, feeling good and excited. Maybe a little extra excited compared to a normal day. Those drudgery days known as Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Because today we have some very exciting stuff to talk about. How are you doing, Dan? Are you ready for this epic show we're about to have?
I am. And the reason it's epic is because they have just dropped, or earlier today, several hours ago, they dropped the trailer, the official full blooded trailer for the third season of The Wheel of Time, which is, of course, Prime Video's adaptation of Robert Jordan's 14 book strong epic fantasy series. And this could be a make or break season. The show's been getting better and better. It is a high fantasy tour de force. I'm looking forward to it. You're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to it. We're going to talk all about it. But first, let's stop by Westeros real quick, check in with House of the Dragon, because there's some developments there too. Basically, we'll have a quick stop off on the Seven Kingdoms, where we heard that I think Matt Smith, who plays Daemon Targaryen, has gotten the script for the first 6 episodes of season 3. And film is going to begin any minute now. They'll put on those blonde wigs, they'll get on those big giant dragon rigs, and they will take to the skies and record some new scenes pretending to be Targaryen princes. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's scheduled to run from like March to October or March to December. Like, it should wrap this year, later this year. But I think it's important to note this because I did see one or two articles flying around saying it's already filming. They started in January and they're partway into season 3. And those are incorrect, dear viewers and listeners, if you happen to have seen those. House of the Dragon started pre-production in January. So think getting the costumes ready, getting all the tennis balls they need to trick the actors into thinking there are dragons around on set, all that sort of stuff. But they begin actual filming in March, which is right around the same time as The Witcher, ironically enough. They're also filming like March to October of this year, so I wonder if they'll be like competing for public parks or anything to film their big epic outdoor scenes.
Yeah, I wonder if like can borrow swords and yield tiny boots from each other's sets. Benjack says, right? The Condal, the show I gave it out to the podcast this morning, I will look it up. Benjack, if you have a link to that, let us know. That sounds juicy.
Yeah, that's exciting. Mainly, thanks, Ben Jack.
But mainly, we're talking about The Wheel of Time today, because it is the next big fantasy show du jour out on March 13th, I think. Yes. I assume it'll be the first 3 episodes at once. I don't think they actually said it, although I could be wrong. That's what they usually do over there. And until they listen to my letter writing campaign, that's going to be the way it is. Daniel, you have been shoulder deep in this trailer for a minute now.
Yes.
And I'm going to lean on you for explanations of all the things that are going on. We're going to watch it. We're going to pause it. We're going to give you our insights. We're going to tell you exactly what's happening, why it's great, why you should know it, and what to look forward to. We open on a rolling desert. Who doesn't love sand?
Yeah.
Okay, first I'll say, okay, oh, pause it here. Just pause it there, whatever.
Pause it right on the first frame. Why not? Let's do it.
I love the Fellowship of the Ring vibes. There's something good about people walking in a circle, in a line. Also, I like the song they play, the time.
So
is that written for the show?
Yes. Yeah. So the Wheel of Time, Lauren Balfe does the score and the songwriting and stuff. And he does an amazing job and has, I feel like, was a little ahead of the curve with like working in vocals into some of the soundtrack and scoring. So yeah, this is an original song for the Wheel of Time. And like every time I see it, it was in this trailer and the previous one, it's an earworm. It gets stuck in my head.
It's good. I like it. It's a little cheesy because the word time is in the title. It's kind of imagine if it was like Game of Thrones.
Totally. But
I think it works. I was more immersed than I was put off. Anyway, they're in the Aiel Waste, the desert land where the Aiel dwell, where they'll be going this year. Because that's what happens in The Shadow Rising. Hold up your copy, will you?
Yeah, so we are going to, just for the record for people in the chat, hey there, Divine, nice to see you too. And yeah, it is a busy day today, breaking down this trailer all over the place. So we're going to be keeping spoilers to The Shadow Rising, not talking spoilers for later books, even though there are a few hints in here. But this opening shot, you can kind of just barely make it out. That's Randall, Thor, and a bunch of Aiel walking across the Aiel Waste. Shall we move to the next stuff?
I guess, yeah.
All right, pause on this.
Rivers.
Dude in the river. Dude, yeah, his face. So that's Yosha Stradowski, who plays Randall Thor, but he looks a little different here. He's got long hair.
He is bald.
He is. He has like some buzzed hair in most of this season and this show. But here we see him with long hair. He's wearing his kind of iconic jacket from the books that Rand gets, which is like a red jacket. And he's got like a little glint of madness in his eyes. So this obviously is from a vision of some kind. There are going to be a lot of visions in this season of The Wheel of Time. We know that Egwene is doing her accepted trial, which is, viewers, you might recall Nynaeve did that last season. And it was real traumatic where she saw a bunch of stuff and saw a bunch of people she loved get murdered. In order to become an accepted, rising through the ranks of the Aes Sedai. So Egwene's going to do that. We also know Rand is getting visions at this Aiel ruin called Roydian, right? Did I say it right? Yeah. And Moiraine will also get visions there. So we don't know which vision this is from, but I do think the mountains are a pretty good match for the accepted trial because we got that. Can we step back to the three people on horses that were a second ago? And thank you, Richard. Producer Richard is going to be an absolute boss working through this trailer because it's a lot. So this is Nynaeve, Egwene, and Elaine. We saw them in one of the shiny press images. You remember that one, Dan, where they had like the big the get-ups. I'm pretty sure Madeline Madden confirmed that's the Egwene actor, that is Egwene's accepted trial. That's what we're looking at here.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer. Save big money at Menards.
Move it on. Time.
Nice. More rain.
Shoot a little thing. Got you. That's pretty cool.
Pause there. Pause on that lady floating.
Is that Leandrin?
Yeah. Yeah. That's Leandrin. Yeah. So she's in her red garb. She's got her blonde hair all knotted up. She's being lifted by Siwan Sancha, the Emerlin seat here. Mm-hmm. In the Hall of the Sitters, which is like where the Aes Sedai all gather to do important Aes Sedai business. And Siwan has her Keeper of the Chronicles, Leanne, next to her, and Alana. So what are your thoughts about this, Dan? It looks like Leandrin might be in some hot water here.
Didn't Leandrin, didn't she flee the White Tower at the end of season two? Or am I wrong?
So Leandrin didn't flee the White Tower. She was outed. Well, she doesn't know she was outed. So Leandrin was revealed to the audience to be a member of the Black Aja. So
that's bad.
Yep, that's bad. She sold out like Nynaeve and Egwene and Elaine to the Seanchan. Mm-hmm. But none of the Aes Sedai knew that. So we never actually saw, I think the last time we saw Leandrin in season two, she was messing stuff up in Kyrian. She had Moiraine's nephew Barthanas try to murder her and it backfired and he got locked up. But we never actually saw what happened with the Aes Sedai, and it looks like we're gonna see that in season three here.
Well, in the Shadow Rising, there's a lot of turmoil at the White Tower, although as I recall, Leandrin's nowhere near it, so this must be a change from the book.
It is and it isn't. So Leandrin, I think it might be the Dragon Reborn where this happens. Basically, because Nynaeve and Egwene and Elaine get away from the Seanchan, they're able to tell people, hey, Leandrin is a sister of the dark. And she's Nynaeve here is on the right side of this image in the white dress. So they basically, once Leandrin is outed, she and 12 other Black Aja members flee the White Tower. They steal a bunch of magical artifacts and they go into hiding.
Right.
And that happens like off the page in the book, if I remember right. So it looks like we see a bunch of battle scenes at the White Tower. Like, we can hit play whenever you're ready and kind of step through these, Richard.
Okay. So we'll get back to it. I mean, because it doesn't look like she can get away there. I mean, that'll be satisfying.
How about Leandrin's here? Awful.
I mean, right I there. Love battle at the White Tower. This is all kind of off book, though. Like you said, like they kind of get away off the page.
Yeah,
they all flee, and here we're gonna see some crap go down.
Yes, exactly. That's what it looks like. And I think someone published a report, like Screen Rant or someone, that they had seen part of an episode and saw that part. So yeah, it's gonna be intense at the White Tower.
Love her face, jaw that could cut glass. Yep.
Let's hold on this that picture of Leandrin there for a second. So that does not look like the White Tower to me. So obviously she looks like she's going to get away.
She's one of the folk that I am down with them expanding on stuff. Yes. She didn't really hit me much in the books. I don't feel like she popped off the page that much in the book, though. Agreed. They cast this Kate Fleetwood actress who's very good, who has just like a jaw like an aircraft carrier. And she gives just a lot of great energy and attitude and intensity. And I'm into it.
Yeah, totally. I noticed last season that it seemed like they were just putting Kate Fleetwood with different people. Like anytime they needed a good juicy scene with a certain character, they were like, put Kate Fleetwood with them and they'll make something interesting. Because she is really, Leandrin is one of those characters where I do agree with you. I think she is leaping out of the story in a much more believable, real way than her book counterpart did by a lot at this stage.
It's good to have a villain, right? Good to have someone in the Aes Sedai Tower that you just, it's just like loathe someone in a fun way. Jaw that could sink the Titanic. Okay, move on.
It's funny you say loathsome but in a fun way, because she's almost more sympathetic too in the show. Like she's just a more interesting character.
Nice. Can we pause looks
on,
good
on Moiraine there? Yeah.
Awesome. What'd
you think of the magic? Looking pretty good, right?
Looks good. I feel like it's gotten better every season. Yeah, I'm into it. Tearing up the ground like an earthbender and Avatar The Last Airbender. Wishes it looked. Yeah, It looks good.
Ooh, oh, what a burn. But also pretty fair, because it seems like they're really, I think it was last season, I interviewed one of the visual effects people who worked on the magic, mm-hmm. and he talked about how much attention to detail they were putting to try to make it really, really good, because the Wheel of Time books have such a deep, like, visual language for the way the magic is supposed to look. So
okay.
it seems like they're taking that very seriously.
Look at that note.
I wanted to shout out this scene with Moiraine. So she is saying here, what does she say? It's something about the White Tower needs to bend the knee to Rand, I think, which is a line that sets off alarm bells in my head, wondering what is going to happen.
The knee to Rand Elsewhere.
Yeah. He'll lose the last battle, I think, is the end of that.
Good
so
luck.
She
good stakes establishment.
Yeah, totally. And that looks like Siwan's fishing hut to me.
Which
we saw, I think it was in season one, they went to the fishing hut through like those little portals. So I guess they're gonna get some time there again this season.
Well, they're in a difficult spot, those kids. Hope they make it. Move it on. Good line. Love spears. Yeah. Spears are great little accoutrements. Yep. Okay.
Pause anywhere in that battle.
So,
yeah.
A big plot line from The Shadow Rising is Perrin returns to the Two Rivers, where they all, the little kind of backwater village where they all hung out and lived at the start of the story, which I don't feel like we spent enough time at. I wish it would have been there a little longer to like establish a baseline of Shire-esque fantasy backwater living before we went off. So it'll be cool to come back to it. And also, there's these scenes of a big battle. I'm not spoiling much, but there's Trollocs involved. There's bad people, and Perrin's gonna fight them. Is this the biggest battle? No, I guess we had Falma last season. There's something very traditional looking about this battle. Later on, there'll be like a traditional Archer's Loose moment, which just rings so classic. You know, they did in Lord of the Rings. They did in Game of Thrones. It's like a thing you gotta have. You got to have a row full of archers. They pull them back and someone says loose. It just feels very fantasy battle to me.
Yeah, I think you said that in your write-up for this trailer. And when I read that, I was like, yeah, that is totally like, oh yeah, we're in a fantasy battle. Some dude's shouting loose and they're shooting a bunch of arrows. And yeah, it's not a spoiler. It totally works. Not a spoiler to say we'll see Trollocs. That's who Perrin's fighting right here is a Trolloc. They're all over this trailer. Basically, he returns home to the Two Rivers and finds there are a bunch of Trollocs there. There are also White Cloaks in the mix, who we get glimpses of throughout this trailer. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because the Shadow Rising almost takes like the Scouring of the Shire type thing, where the hero, one of the heroes returns home, but it's not quite like they thought it would be. But instead of doing it at the end of the series, they're doing it on like book 4 of 14. So like, where does Perrin go from here is going to be so interesting. It's going to be a big season for Perrin.
So much to do. It's going to be a big season for Perrin, but also a really big one for Nynaeve. So much to do in this season.
So one fun fact with this, they burned down this entire Two Rivers set in the first season for the series premiere. They had to rebuild the whole thing because I didn't know if they would get renewed this far. They didn't plan to keep the set, so they had to rebuild the entire set for this season.
It happens. Hit it. Rare, dude's calm, funny out. Moment between the three dudes. Doesn't happen that often anymore or ever. Lanfear, serving face. Gotta love it.
Pause there.
That's a good one.
Whew.
Okay. So last year they introduced Mogedion, whatever, Miss M, the new Forsaken sorceress, who's a pretty big player in the books so far. And she and Nynaeve have a thing. They have like I won't spoil it again, but they have like a confrontation. And this looks like it is. It's all kinds of creepy.
Yeah.
We're three seasons in. I still wish Zoe Robbins, who plays Nynaeve, radiated more anger. But it's her take on the character. I'm with it. I'm into it.
Yeah.
And Mogedion, I'll take creepy Mogedion. Seems to be the general vibe they're going with her, which I'm fine with.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the first moment. This trailer is just so full of exciting things. But this was the moment where I sat up straighter and I was like, oh my God, they put it right in the trailer. Because Nynaeve and Mogedion's kind of showdown is a very, very like beloved part of the book series that happens in book four. And it's one that, like, when they announced that they were making a Wheel of Time show, I was like, oh man, I hope we get to see Mogeti and Nynaeve scenes. So yeah, that's happening this season. A few details to note here. Mogedion has like black fingers, which I guess that was a thing in season two as well. Not sure exactly what the deal is with that, but it's creepy.
That I can tell you that is the costume designer or the stylist thinking like, you know, it'd be cool. They did that with Agatha Harkness in WandaVision. Her fingers are all black in the end.
Yeah. Because
they think it looks neat.
Yeah,
that is why they do it.
And it does. It does look neat. Nynaeve is wearing what looks like her Tanchico outfit that we saw on one of the press images here. It's got kind of like a little neck thing strapped down to the rest of the dress. So an interesting thing that someone shouted out on the Dusty Wheel stream I was on earlier is that Nynaeve looks almost kind of adoring at Mogedion here. And they wondered if she's under compulsion.
Yeah, which, I remember that scene. So,
yeah, for the non-readers who might not know what that is, compulsion is basically like mind control. It's super forbidden. No one's supposed to do it, but the Forsaken do what they want, obviously.
The Forsaken,
so they're all about
do
that.
What they want, go where they want, and mind control whoever they please.
Yeah.
And you know how you know they're evil? Because the ends of their fingers are dark.
That's right. One thing I'm really curious with this. So, Dan, can I ask you, you said maybe, you wish Nynaeve was a little fiercer, a little more like her book counterpart.
Sure.
One thing that the show has changed a little bit was playing up her block to make her own, I don't want to say more incompetent, but she's able to use magic a little bit more in the books for where she is in the story here. Does that bother you? Do you think it fits with Nynaeve's story so far?
I don't really mind that. I wish the tenor of the performance were pitched a little higher on the anger scale. I don't really care about the magic stuff. I care about, in the books, Nynaeve is my favorite character, probably, or at least one of them, top two, three.
Mine
because
too.
She's always pissed and always ticked off and always bossy. And I just don't get that feeling from Zoe Robbins as often as I'd like to as a performer. I really don't care about the plot particulars of it.
Yeah, that's super fair. I hope we get a little bit more of that Nynaeve. But at the same time, I feel like Nynaeve and Lan are two characters where, like, I saw someone make this comparison with Brandon Sanderson's take on Matt in the later books, because it was fine, but it was just different than the Matt we knew from the earlier book. Like, there was just something tonally that... What'd you say?
I'm going to guess he's less of a dick.
He's less of a dick. His sense of humor is more childish. There's one scene where he like writes like aliases for people like on pieces of paper and hands them out, and it's like Robert Jordan would never write that. Like, that's just not a match. I feel like the show's version of Nynaeve and Lan are a little similar in that they're good in their own way, but they're not quite a match the same way that like Perrin and Rand feel. Pretty and Matt feel pretty comparable. Egwene too.
Why Rand? I think feels very good. Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing. But yeah, cannot wait for this.
Good. Adaptations are good. They're doing a great job of it. Just agreed. We all have our little peccadillos. Hit it, please, Richard. Mogedion. Hey, I'm Mogedion. How are you? We got Perrin in the Two Rivers. Loyal. Good old Loyal. We gotta pause.
Yeah.
Okay, pause there because I'm gonna guess on Rand Mackin with the brunette. So he's macking on Lanfear. I'm gonna guess this is a vision, because Rand, she's an evil sorceress Forsaken who wants to like pull the world into a dark oblivion and rule it with you as her evil king. I'm going to hope some kind of, because I know they go into Teleron Riod, the dream world, where things are fluid and what you see isn't always the truth and identity can shift. Because if Rand is just kissing her again, like, Rand, buddy, dude, don't do that.
This is another really interesting thing where they have played up Lanfear and Rand's relationship a lot more. They've made it a lot more of a real relationship.
Which I'm fine with, by the way.
I think that's a great choice. Yeah, I think it's a great choice. And Natasha O'Keefe is, like, total scene stealer, one of the breakout stars of the show as Lanfear. She's so, so good. Richard, can you back it up to the frame right before this? So, I think you're obviously right, Dan. I don't think that they're actually on this mountaintop, partially because this is the Two Rivers. So we actually saw Rand sitting on more. It was either same rock or a very similar rock in the first season with Egwene, which is like, oh, I don't like that. We see Rand and Lanfear together in a few different locations in this trailer. And I think that is because of they're seeing each other in Tel Arryn.
Sure.
You know, I don't think there's any way to explain it otherwise, because Rand is going to hoof it out to the Aiel Waste and Lanfear is not going to just tag along. Like, she presumably has other stuff to do.
But again, like, what happens in Tel Arryn Riad stays in Tel Arryn Riad in a way.
So speaking of, can we step forward to Egwene in the desert, which is two frames forward from here? So yeah, these two, this is a new character, Bear, played by Nukaka Coster-Waldau, who, fun fact, is Jaime Lannister, Nikolai Coster-Waldau's wife in real life.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah. So a big part of Egwene's storyline with the Aiel is learning to dreamwalk. In other words, to actually control being in this dream world. She learns it from their wise ones, who are essentially their Aes Sedai. Bear is one of them. And I'm going to assume this is the dream world because Bear is dressed as a maiden of the spear. And that's a thing she does in the books, is in the dream world, you can kind of like manifest your inner self, the way you're dressed and appear and whatever. So I'm guessing that's what's going on here. What do you think?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Can you say Tel Arryn Riad three times fast?
Tel Arryn Riad.
No, you cannot. Okay. No, Julie cannot. Asks, where's filming done? I'm not sure. A beautiful desert.
South Africa, I believe, for a lot of the Aiel Waste stuff was South Africa. I know Ruidian they did in Namibia as well.
Nice. Oh, that's cool. All right. Press on. I can't say it either, by the way. I just wanted to see if I can make it good.
There was Egwene and her Shanchan get up. That's got to be the dream world,
ooh,
too.
Ooh, cool.
Because obviously she doesn't get captured by the Shanchan again. Don't expect to really see the Shanchan this season.
Okay, I won't.
Yeah. I was on those tattoos.
Sure, the dragon tattoos, important bit from the Shadow Rising.
Yeah.
Marks Rand as a chosen one, a messiah for the Aiel people. They got a million names for it.
Yeah, the Kara Karn, the chief of chiefs. I'm kind of curious if this is Rand, or I think other Aiel chieftains get it on one arm. And part of the thing with Rand is he gets it on both. I might be wrong about that. If anyone knows in the chat, feel free to correct me. But if that's the case, I almost wonder if this is Ruark, who is one of the Aiel clan chiefs, showing Rand his tattoo, just because of like the armor on the side. We haven't seen Rand in that outfit. So this is another one of those like really iconic imagery things from the books where I'm like, oh my God, we're going to see that on television.
It pops. I like the way the show uses color. I feel like it's very vibrant. It's not like a grayed, browned, kind of muted show. It's very primary popping color, which I like.
Yeah.
And feels very correct for the book series.
Totally. It saw the fantasy trend of washed out, grim looking television and said, nah, we're not doing that.
All right. Hit it. We got Aiel Smart's Avienda, important Aiel character. Sassin Rand, like she is in the book, which I like. Yeah. She also is kind of a bear to him there, too.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Pause. Can you back up onto one more? Yeah. Okay. So that's good, Richard. If we want to step through over this sequence here, there's a line that's like each step forward is a step backward in time. And that's referencing the vision trial Rand has to go through in Reuter to become a chief. And then we see here the feet step and the scene shifts. So there, yeah, right there. There were three in a row. One is like that right there, that first one. I'm so sorry, Richard. I know these are super fast cuts. The first one is shoes in dirt, probably actual Ruidian. The next one is like futuristic shoes on pavement.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the one after that looks like the Age of Legends, which is when the Forsaken are from. The architecture is kind of the same. Rand is in a different outfit, so he's going to be like living different lives throughout this vision. Can't wait.
This sequence in the book is probably the best one in the book. And like, I'm pretty new to the Wheel of Time books, but I read it and I was like, oh, I remember this, where he has his visions in Ruidian, whatever. And they kind of take us back into the past. It's very evocative, very ayahuasca, very mushrooms. And I can imagine if a fan of the Wheel of Time was going to adapt this, actually, this being like a thing you want to get to if you're making a show.
Yes.
So I hope they go ham on this one, and it feels like they're going to.
Yes, totally.
Okay. Press forward. Ran again with Lanfear. You got to stop that.
Yeah. Pause right there on those glass columns. Whoo. That's also in Ruidian. That's so Ran has to walk through that forest of glass columns. They're magical. That's what gives them the visions. Moiraine's going to be there too, but she'll have a different trial. If we want to step forward two frames, she has to go into these rings. We'll see them on the next frame after this. We'll see her foot stepping toward that.
We'll talk about her journey there, yeah.
Yeah, and those give her similar visions.
Keep it up. What did you see in the rings? What did you see? I'm floating in a little thing.
Can we pause on the
rings? Yeah,
the rings. What do you want to say about the rings, Dan?
Well, basically just so Moiraine. I know that in the book, so Rand and Moiraine both go to Ruidian. It's this kind of sacred vision quest city that only a few people are privileged to go to. And it is a great part of the book. Rand has to go there in order to kind of prove the Aiel. The hope, they're always needs to go into the Aiel Oasis, try to win these very warrior like people to his side.
Yes.
And going to Ruidian is part of that. Moiraine goes too, but we don't see what she sees in the book. It looks like the show we're going to. Okay. Cool adaptation choice, because you're not adding anything. Like, this happens in the book. We just didn't see it. You're just going to fill in that gap. That's fine. And it fits with the show's kind of mission to front Moiraine a little more, because Rosamund Pike was nominated for an Oscar. We're going to do that for her. B, cool design. I don't remember if they mention rings in the book, but I'm fine with magic rings being the way she sees crap. I'm good with that. Yeah. I think it looks cool. And then she has this line about she goes in, sees tons of futures. You see that kind of thing with these vision stuff. And in every future she saw where Rand lived, she was dead, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't even read far enough to know what comes of that, but I understand it's a big deal. And it feels like they're doing a good job of laying that in, of making it a part of the story, maybe even skipping ahead to the end of the season. I haven't watched it. I don't know. But I like everything about this. You get to highlight Rosamund Pike's skills. You get to highlight a great character like Moiraine. You get to design the crap out of some fun rings. And you get to adapt things in a way that is new, but fair and legitimate.
Totally. And so the rings are in the book. That is basically, while the Isle chieftains go to the glass columns, perspective wise ones go to these rings, and they're equivalent of the arches that the Aes Sedai have for novices to pass through. I totally agree with everything you said. I think this was a really smart adaptation choice to give Moiraine these visions, because we never saw what she saw. And you know, Moiraine is a character you don't really get to see the internal workings of very much in the books, and I think it's really to the show's credit that it has delved into that a bit more, because obviously you don't get Rosamund Pike and then not use her. The design for this, like you said, is really cool. The other thing I wanted to point out here, and this is a little bit of a spoiler if you don't want to know, for the Shadow Rising, there are two people
scream into your headphones now. Oh yeah, there are
two people floating in there. One of them's not Rand. So the other person, there's another shot earlier in the trailer where you can just kind of see their hair looks like braids. I am guessing the other person floating with Moiraine is Avienda,
Go there, doesn't she?
Yeah. Avienda has a pretty big arc that I don't want to get into too much for spoilers, but she will go on a journey this season, and I imagine she's going to go there with Moiraine, and that will be very interesting.
And we're on a journey through this trailer. We'll continue now. It's Field. Other fun vision things, I'm sure. Yep. Fun camera work.
Was on
fun vision
this
stuff.
One, Richard. Yeah. Oh, the timing. So I didn't mention this. The Field. I saw people speculating that is Moiraine seeing a future where she releases Lan from his bond. Because over top of this, she's talking about all the futures she's seen. We see that. We see her with some village people.
But not the village people.
Yeah. So this one looks very similar to some artwork of Moiraine and Lan when they first bonded. And then these village people look like tinkers a little bit to me. And then after this, we see Moiraine wearing the Amyrlin Seed outfit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then the one after this, she's wearing that outfit in the hall of the tower, passing judgment on Rand, who's dressed like the Dragon Reborn in the red cloak. So this is where she's saying, in all the futures where she lives.
Rand, I love the attention to grandiosity and detail. Like, they have to do separate setups for all of this, like get into all these costumes, all these people, all these sets, and get in just to get this fun shot for us. I like that. It shows it is evidence of love.
Yeah, totally.
Also, you got to call them villagers, not village people, because I'm just keep thinking YMCA in my head.
Fair. Those villagers want us to carry on to the next shots.
Gotcha.
She's very sad.
Pause.
Can you pause on the woman in red by the throne? I just need to shout that one out. Yeah, right there. So that's Morghaes, Queen Morghaes, played by Olivia Williams.
The lion throne. There are some big old lions.
Yeah. Can you step back just a hair in this, Richard? So she's got her pro. There it is. This is an interesting thing I noticed about this shot. Morghaes looks like she's pregnant here. So Morghaes in the books, her kids are Elaine Trecond, who we've already met. She has two sons, Gawain and Galad. Galad is a half son. He's not hers by blood. And they're all adults by the time of the story. So it looks like we're going to get a Morghaes flashback is what I'm taking from this.
This show is going to be full of visions and flashbacks. And again, there are some shows I don't think that really works for. But the Wheel of Time is a lot more flexible and say House of the Dragons, a lot more magic in it. And I'm willing to go along with it.
Yeah. Hard agree with that.
Punch it. Every show is different.
It's true.
There is Elida.
Fine. Played by Shohreh Ghoshlu.
More of the battle. Here we get that loose bit because you got to have someone yelling loose.
Can we pause on this woman with the bow? Black hair and the bow. So this is another important character. This is Fael, who is joining this season, and she is...
Oh, that's Fael?
That's Fael. We have Fael in a trailer. We get a good look at her in this trailer.
That's good.
She looks great. She's a romantic interest for Perrin. Same. About how I imagined her. She's a very spirited woman. She has a lot of opinions and loves kind of giving Perrin some... attitude, much in the same way that Avienda likes to troll Rand. I have a feeling it's gonna be very fun to see them on screen together. But here she is in the battle. She's a hunter for the horn. So viewers, listeners, if you remember the Horn of Valir that Matt blew at the end of season 2, they kind of skimped on this in the show, but there's a whole thing where people are supposed to be looking for that. And Fael is one of those people who was hunting for the horn, not knowing Matt already has it.
Oops. All right, hit it on. Yeah, so we have this big Battle of the Two Rivers, exciting.
Trollocs
go down. And then we have our end of trailer, obligatory like action montage, and it looks good.
Pause on that blonde Rand. That blonde Rand. I just need to point this out. That's another Yosha Stradowski dressed in a totally different outfit.
Now he's a little like 3-day beard going. Cool.
Yeah, and this is obviously, this is going to be another Ruidian vision. And I think this is, so what we see 4 different Yosha Stradowskis in this trailer alone, like totally different characters. It looks like he's playing, or versions of Rand or whatever. Whew. I'm getting chills thinking about it.
I also love that shot of all the Aiel, I assume, assembled on the horizon line of the desert.
Yeah.
I like shots with lots of people in lines. That's what I'm wondering about myself today. I think it tells you, get all the extras together. Get them all in formation. It feels grand. It feels grand. It feels rand. It feels right.
Nice. Okay, move it on. That's Lanfear in Age of Legends outfit. So that's going to be it. Lanfear in another Flash.
Lane a bit. And again, more just flashes of things. We'll get more content. There's the Rand haircut. We know the fade.
Yes. And then Rand exploding with magic. I am working feverishly right now on a very exhaustively detailed breakdown of this trailer. So keep an eye on winteriscoming.net later today for that, where I go through more or less every single frame except the ones that are redundant. And
I'm psyched. I think it's looking very good. Me too. I hope it catches on and they have to keep doing it. Robert Harris, we're just about to talk other shows, so I know you're not too late.
Yes, you're perfectly on time.
I also have to read like a wizard from OBLLYM. Till shade is gone, till water is gone, into the shadow with teeth bared, screaming to find the last breath to spit in Amazon's eye on the last day. I know that not everybody, all Wheel of Time fans are on board with the Wheel of Time TV show. I don't know. I'm not a diehard book fan, although I am reading them. I'm into it. I've liked the show, and I think the trailer looks really good, and I want it to succeed.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I love this trailer. Yeah, like Zach said, you can tell so much work has been put into this season. What a trailer. You totally can. That's the thing. Like, I get the book fan, like, they change stuff. They change the things I love. Like, I totally get that. But the Wheel of Time was facing an impossible adaptation task. It was 14 books. They couldn't. There was no world we're doing it exactly page for page made sense. And I think the big difference here is that from like House of the Dragon, where they're kind of doing their own thing, or The Witcher, where they're off, you know, doing their own thing, or The Rings of Power, where they're deciding that there should be a thing that makes no sense to anyone. The Wheel of Time, all of the changes they're making, all of the things like that, feel like it's very much in service to trying to tell the same story that the books tell, just in a way that is streamlined for television, because they can't possibly do it the same. And if they're adding things, sometimes we just need to be patient to see how they pay off and for the longer plot line. I'm rooting for this show. I think this is like a crucial season where if they do Me this too. Season well, it catches on. It could hit a zeitgeist enough that like the show will be good through the rest of its run. That's what I hope, barring collapse of the entertainment industry or anything. That's
I don't need it to be like the show to end all shows or anything, but I do think it's earned. Sorry, do you?
I said I do.
I mean, I think it's might be setting the bar a little high. Let's not put our hopes up too much.
Fair.
But I do hope it gets a lot of love. And I agree with you. That's the difference maker for me. When some of those other shows like House of Dragon, The Witcher, it doesn't. It feels like they're resisting the source material. And as much as Wheel of Time has changed things, it feels like they really love it. And you can feel that. And I like that.
Yeah, totally. All of the changes do feel like they're very much. It's not that they're bored and they would rather do their own thing. It's how do we make this thing work in a coherent way on a different medium? And with some really outrageous production problems, like recasting Matt partway through filming season one, which like COVID. Totally changed the second season. COVID.
Which looks good, like visually speaking.
Yeah, I think this is going to be such a key season for this show. I cannot wait.
March 12th?
I think it's going to be great.
Or is it 13th?
March 13th.
March 13th.
Yeah, a month Lucky and a 13th. Day from today. We'll be watching it.
February. All right. Daniel, anything else you're watching or reading at the moment?
Dear God, that was a lot. Yeah, there are a few other things I should shout out. I started watching bits of Twin Peaks because you recommended it. My wife. I missed the pilot.
What?
I've been watching it piecemeal. So my wife is binging it. She rented it from the library, and I've been peeking in to get a feel for it. So I've been really I've liked what I've seen, but I haven't been like sitting raptly watching, which I can already tell gets your goat.
A little bit. I mean, I was gonna feel bad that I haven't tried out Arcane yet, but no, if you haven't like watched the show, that's not watching a show.
I multitask.
Like, peeking in on little like clips here and there is not watching a show.
I multitask, you know.
I'm fine.
I'm getting wheel Arcane shots while it's on.
So that's not watching a show, dude. That's like seeing that it's not watching a TV show.
Fair. Okay. So I am kind of watching
Arcane either. So I'd say you're not watching Twin Peaks. You are occasionally seeing a scene here and there, which is fine. Like, God bless you.
You are offending Twin Peaks, is what I'm hearing.
I'm defending Twin Peaks. Oh yes,
I'm offending. I'm offending Twin Peaks.
So we'll talk when you've watched the pilot or something.
Okay, that's fair.
Anything else you're watching or reading?
Yes, a couple of other things I need to shout out. One is The Witcher: Sirens of the Deep. Came out yesterday. That's the new Witcher animated movie. We hardly talked about it, but it is here, and I thought it was pretty good. I was kind of pleasantly surprised. This one is set during Geralt's like early days as a monster hunter between two episodes of the first season. It's a standalone adventure that's basically the Witcher's take on the Little Mermaid. I thought that the movie obviously changed things, quite a lot of things. But it's still stuck pretty close to the short story it's based on, at least in spirit, you know, while still building things out. So I think it's one of the better Witcher things that exists, even if it still had one or two moments that made me cringe, like when a character breaks out in a song out of total nowhere. but on the whole, Well, no, it's not a bard. If it was the bards, I wouldn't mind. It was a different. A mer person breaks out in song in a way that I was like, oh, you're really trying to comp it to the Little Mermaid. Got it. It's like a scene that mirrors the Little Mermaid. Like,
under the ocean, where life is sweeter, down where it's Peter.
Yeah, except it's basically the Ursula stand-in breaks out into song at one part. And I'm like, oh, okay. But aside from that, the movie was great, I think. So it has Doug Cockle as Geralt. He's the guy who voiced him in the game. And a bunch of people from the television show, a bunch of new people, including House of the Dragons, Emily Carey is in it. She plays a mer woman. Yeah, I think for Witcher fans, it is totally worth the time to give it a watch. So, the only other one I did was I started Pantheon, which is an animated show on Netflix that's based on a sci-fi story by this guy, Ken Liu, who wrote The Dandelion Dynasty, really famous. Like silk punk fantasy series. Cool. This is like a sci-fi about a teenage girl who's getting bullied, and AI befriends her, and then she finds out that AI might be the disembodied consciousness of her father. Some weird twisty stuff, but I'm only a few episodes into that. So what about you, Dan? I've rambled so much, my throat is tired. What are you watching, reading, experiencing?
Watching Invincible, that's been fun. Oh, nice. It's a decent show. Severance, Robert Harris asked about Severance. I definitely watched Severance. I want more screeners. I've watched further than most people, but I haven't seen all the way to the end, and I'd like to. So I can write about it and talk about it from a journalist perspective and add value to Apple TV Plus.
Yes, hello. Exactly.
But the most recent episode, Woe's Hollow, did you see it? The new one?
I did. It was a weird one. Yeah. I went back and forth on how much I liked it, I'll be honest.
I kind of agree with you. It was definitely the most atypical episode of the show to date. The innies are all in this outside environment. I did like it. It was creepy. It was still. It was very different. And I loved the twist. Like, I mean, I knew it was coming. I think we all figured out that Heli, spoiler alert, isn't the real Heli. But when it was happening, when it was playing out, I was still like, oh my God.
Yeah, agree.
I do kind of agree with you that I don't know if we needed the whole, I don't know, the field trip aspect. It made for a different kind of episode, and novelty is cool. But the things that I like most about it were just the meat and potatoes plot twisting.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was weird. I liked some of the bits of lore. I liked... you know, the complicated twists and turns with Heli in particular, like the fact that she slept with Mark, and then it's like, oh, you're not the Heli we thought you were. That is pretty messed up and is going to be a thorny issue moving forward. I think my biggest problem with it, aside from how much of a just off in the middle of nowhere random thing it felt like was that I don't like where it was paced in the season, because the third episode just brought it up.
Yeah,
exactly. Robert Harris. I totally agree. It was a good episode, but it seemed like a weird place to have it being the way episode three ended. Yeah. Episode three ended with a massive, massive plot twist, which spoilers here, go away. Spoilers. Mark reintegrated. So now he should have the consciousness of both Marks in his head at all times. But Woe's Hollow doesn't seem like it really did anything with that. Like, there's a hint that maybe something's going on, but it didn't. Obviously that's a huge turn in the show. You expect something's going to happen related to it. So it felt weird to almost table that for an episode.
How are you going to just drop that on us and then do something else? I was a little mad about that, but I did love the Helly stuff. So I kind of made up for it, but I watched it on screeners. I was like, what do you mean they don't follow up on it? Where is it?
Yeah. This can't be right.
I could watch the next one and you can't.
Bragging. That's fair.
Yes.
I like the stuff with Irving too. I liked how it paid off. You know, Irving was suspicious this whole time and he just couldn't let it go. And I really loved that the way he really confirmed it to himself was Helly said a mean thing to him. Like, Helly was cruel in a way that real Helly are, any Helly are, it just isn't cruel. So that was telling to him. I like that a lot.
Head in the water and then be like, sorry.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. But yeah, I was also thrown by, like, you're not going to say anything about the bit. Okay, whatever. We'll check about next week, I guess.
Yeah.
And we will. Totally. This Friday. All right. Ooh. We are pushed up on the clock. Daniel, Ooh. Do you want to jump into the WIC News lightning round where we go over a bunch of stories we couldn't get to the main body of the show and give our 20-second opinions on them? No more, no less.
Why don't we do that, Dan? I think we've rambled a decent length of time. It's been a pleasure, as it always is. Why don't we go through some very quick stories? I will set it up as slowly and meticulously and painfully as possible so that once we start doing it, we can do it with the most speed possible.
Yeah, that was weird. All right. I will go ahead and ask you a question. Peaks.
Weird is the name of the game.
No, you haven't. Okay.
Okay.
Daniel, 26 yes. o'clock. Disney is converting its Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel to office space.
I think this is hilarious. So Disney made a Star Wars hotel. It was stupidly expensive, like $5,000 for a weekend, and you had to do a whole weekend if you wanted to go. And it flopped. It was terrible. People didn't go because they couldn't afford to go, because what are they thinking? Now they're turning it into cubicles, and I think that's hilarious. Sorry.
No more to say. Yeah.
Sorry to dismiss you, Disney. Here is one I am both sad for you and also very interested to hear your opinion on. So The Sandman season 2 will end with season 2, as suspected.
Yeah, I mean, even before Neil Gaiman got canceled for sexual abuse, I think they were already going to end it with season 2.
Yeah.
The story is less about Neil Gaiman and more about people kind of pulling back on these big expensive shows a bit because they just put a lot of money into it and they didn't get the returns they wanted. So now it's going to end with season 2. Too bad, but also there's no universe where it would have continued. Daniel, the second season of Shogun will shoot this year, at least according to lead actor Hiroyuki Sanada.
I won't lie, I'm a little nervous about Shogun season 2. So the last thing before this we heard was that the writers were still really trying to crack it. They hadn't quite figured out all the deets. Hiroyuki Sanada, who plays Torinaga, says they're supposed to start shooting. It's a fraught proposition because there's no book. They're going totally off book for basically a sequel season. I hope it's good. I loved Shogun.
Ditto.
I'll hope for them. Speaking of fraught propositions, apparently Sarah Michelle Gellar she's confirmed she's developing a Buffy the Vampire Slayer sequel show on Hulu.
Yeah, I mean, I loved Buffy when I was a kid. I'd probably watch it, but like, who knows if it'll be anything approaching good. I don't know. reviving shows is always dicey. It can work. I guess Cobra Kai is about to have its final season, and that revived after like 30 years.
That's true.
Like that. But yeah, fraught. Quite fraught.
Yes. Fraught is the name of our lightning round, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fraught news.
Fraught news. We changed to that. Daniel, what do you think of the trailer for Jurassic World Rebirth as someone who likes all things dinosaurs?
I do have an undying love for dinosaurs. And I'll be honest, I was really, really skeptical. I hated the fact they were making this movie because the last one was billed as like the end of the series mm-hmm. for a while. And it's been like 3 years. But I do think the trailer looked pretty good. It takes them to a new island. It's kind of on the thriller train where they're just trying to survive and get off of it.
Really?
I'll give it a chance. I will watch Scarlett Johansson run from dinosaurs. All right, Dan, continuing the fraught news, mm-hmm. Coleman Domingo apparently did talk with Marvel about maybe replacing Jonathan Majors as King the Conqueror, but then everyone decided it was not a good idea.
Yeah, Robert asked if there are any legs somewhere that Marvel might bring back Majors to Kang. Probably not. It really feels like they tried some things, they thought about recruiting somebody different, and then they wouldn't hire Robert Downey Jr. to come back as like a whole new character and a whole new villain and then just bring him back as well. For better or worse, they have shifted tracks. I don't think he's coming back, and they're not going to replace him with a new actor either. Daniel, I have no idea if you have an experience with this. They're making a Magic the Gathering movie, you know, those little cards where you're like, I tap my thing.
I play Magic.
Work. I'm glad I'm asking you. What do you think about it?
I think if it goes the way of Barbie, maybe it'll be good. I don't know.
Oh, true.
Magic has some deep lore. I could see a way to make it a movie and a show that could be good. But it's just a giant coin toss with that sort of adaptation. Will it be any good? Will it be a total cash grab? Kind of depends. I'm going to reserve judgment.
Uh-huh.
I'm more confident in Jurassic World Rebirth. Let's put it that way. All right. Our final WIC News Lightning Round question of the day. Peter Dinklage has joined the cast of Dexter Resurrection.
I mean, speaking of like all these franchises, people must still watch Dexter shows because they have a prequel. They have a sequel. This is a new sequel. Peter Dinklage. And Dinklage appearing in Lannister Game of Thrones will play like a billionaire who's probably also a serial killer. So it's like Dexter will fight Peter Dinklage. Fun in concept, but I mean, I checked out of that show quite a long time ago.
Yeah, wisely so.
It's hard for me to really get excited about it, but yay. And that is our show, everybody. Thanks for watching. This is a fun one. We always have a good time talking with you, talking with each other about all things sci-fi, fantasy movies, TV, books, etc. Please give us a like, give us a subscribe, and tell every single person you know, just like do a max text chain to all your contacts right now and tell them to watch Take the Black Wednesdays at 2 CST on the Winter Screen Facebook and YouTube page. Also, if you prefer not to look at our faces, you can listen to us in podcast form, wherever podcasts are available, be it iTunes, Google Music, wherever. And just watch the show. And I just want to remind you, watching one little clip isn't watching. So just sit down and just watch the whole thing from front to back. Bye,
everybody.
That's
true for Twin Peaks as Take the Black.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.